Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Half in the Bag Disc Golf Podcast. I'm your host, RJ, and today I am drinking a nice red glass of blood. No, wait, Merlot. Yeah, same Merlot. Thing.
It is Lent, and I have made things very difficult for myself. I have given up all sweets. I have said I will be running probably 5 days a week, at least 1 mile each day. And I've given up alcohol. So I am drinking water.
Yeah, so joining me today is a man who will apparently be very, very grumpy for the next 30-some days.
I didn't give up coffee.
It's Joe, and as you heard, he's drinking some water. Joe, how you doing today?
Great, because I didn't give up coffee like I did that 1 year, and my wife said that I was
insufferable,
grumpy, and she didn't really want to be around me. She asked if I was giving it up again this year for coffee. I was like, are you kidding? We have an 18-month-old. I choose life. Choose life. Yeah. Yes.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo! Repping my alma mater's sweatshirt because I found it in the back of the closet and I was like, that looks like a lighter sweatshirt because it was decent out today.
It was. I went running, just had a pair of shorts and a hoodie on. So
run.
Not too bad. Yeah. Yeah. My wife and I are working on training for a 5K. We'll see how that goes.
Nice. For fitness.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Well, it's a goal that I've always had is to run a 5K. So we signed up for the Cardinals 5K this year. So
sure, cool.
Yeah. We did it last year, and we pretty much just walked it. But this year we decided that we're going to try and run it. So
nice. Yeah,
I'm repping my nice Joe's Disc Golf merch.
Nice.
And, I'll let you know, we'll let you know why later.
It's because we're
talking about something fun.
But, yeah, there's a lawsuit and everything. I'll let you decide which one you want to talk about. There are two lawsuits active in disc golf. Let me phrase it a different. Two public lawsuits. There could be more that we just don't know about because it, whatever.
Yes.
In the Gannon Burr lawsuit, they said that they had only one notable touring pro or something. I forget how that went. As Kevin Jones was in first place for half, at least, of the Las Vegas Challenge.
Yeah, he ended up second. Yeah, tied for second. Which, I'll say, the other person that tied for second, dang. I was, like, I flipped on, or not flipped on, but I, like, just checked the live scoring earlier in the day, and I saw him in first, and I'm like, what?
Yep.
What?
Yeah, Prodigy has no active good MPO players, according to Prodigy's own words.
Yes.
So, KJ USA, congrats on the site. I mean, I wish you would have won.
Oh,
it happens. It happens.
But yeah.
His winless streak will continue. It will be, I don't know when they start counting exactly. Like, say he wins next weekend. Would that be, because it's at 913 days without a win. Would that be 920 days? Or 919, I guess, because he'd win next Sunday? Or, I don't know when they count the days, but it has been quite a while, quite a dry spell since 2020.
You know, all I'm hearing is that Kevin Jones heard that Prodigy didn't have any good touring pros.
Basically.
And he took that personally.
It could have been used for motivation for sure.
The Jordan meme of, and I took that personally.
Whether or not it was true, took it personally. That one they actually said in a lawsuit. It is indefinitely out there.
Yeah.
as he has his own line of discs. Yeah.
So it, you know, it's a thing. I'm going to go ahead and stop recording our test audio, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see how that goes at the end. Yeah. It'll be interesting.
I have no idea where that saves. That'll be. Anyway.
I don't either.
We are hoping to have our first half in the bag disc golf interview
thing. Yeah.
Here in maybe the next week or two. So we're trying out some different things live on air or pre-recorded on air. Live pre-recorded
in front of a studio audience. In front of the studio audience. Yeah. So Drew Gibson has made headlines, I guess you could say. It was mostly because of that corduroy pillow he is now selling, but
or is it because he couldn't quite defend his title at Las Vegas this year?
So I knew it was Drew Gibson on coverage, but I only recently, like, I only watched Saturday and Sunday, and I jumped in the middle, and he was in the shade, and it was kind of like a profile shot, and I was like, is that Nico? Because all I could see was the head with the hat and the hair, because he's got the long, poofy hair now.
Yeah.
Like Nico does, or did. I don't know if Nico still does. And so I was like, is that Nico? Oh, that's Drew Gibson.
That is a
much more stout fellow than Nico's slim figure.
Nico's not reinstated yet, is he?
Yep.
Oh, he is?
Yep, this weekend.
Is he there this weekend?
Yep.
I'm not seeing
I think
him.
He made the cut.
Well, let's welcome back, Nico.
Yep. I said on my podcast that, he finished tied for 17th.
Oh, so I just straight up missed. Oh, yeah, there he is. I just straight up missed him.
I'd said that, he wasn't on coverage. He wasn't on any feature card. And I said that if he had any issues on course, it wouldn't be on DGN cameras, but you bet your ass it would be on social media in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't see anything, so I assume everything went well for him.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I figured the first tournament or two would probably go well for him.
Yeah, he was going to be on his best behavior, and
it's once he gets comfortable and kind of, you know, quote, forgets kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes. I still am hoping for the best for him. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So since we've talked about it a little bit, let's just really quickly go through the Las Vegas Challenge results. These are unofficial at time of recording,
but they're pretty much official.
So whenever Nico gets assessed a 3-stroke penalty, he will drop, but,
he would be in a tie for 25th with Gavin Rathbun and Mason Ford.
Ooh, or 24th.
3-stroke?
Because they would bump up one because he would drop one.
No, he'd drop to 19th. He's in a tie at 17. It's a 3-way tie.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
So
let's talk MPO since we've already focused on them. Congrats to Calvin Heimberg for coming out and starting the year strong.
The Borg has assimilated another win.
Yes. Yeah. A nice 2-stroke win.
Yep.
Finishing tied for second.
Yeah. To be fair, KJ had to kind of go for it on that last one to win it because he ended up going OB. It was unfortunate. Barely. Like the wind, watching his drive on 18, the wind just like Calvin threw the exact same shot. He's like, I'm going to throw that shot anyway. And the wind just beat the crap out of it just right out of the ground. So it was just kind of unfortunate that the wind did not favor KJ USA.
The odds were not in his favor.
No. Effie Trinket came and bitch slapped his disc down to the ground.
Or slapped at OB.
Yeah, I think it was into the pond. Close enough. Well, edge of the pond. Yeah. Past the rope.
Yeah. So coming in second, in a tie for second, as we said, was KJ USA.
Yep.
And Ezra Aderholt.
Yeah, it's nice to see him up there.
Yeah. I seem to remember him doing really well last year, too, though. So yeah, maybe this is just kind of a course that suits. I mean, seems like it's a big bomber course. And if
not as big as you would think.
No.
It is actually slowly on the MPO side. It is slowly becoming average, with some of the longer tracks being 10,000 feet. And this one comes in at like 8,600.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
So 1,400 feet is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So tied for fourth were Kyle Klein and defending champion Drew Gibson.
Yep.
Sixth was Mick Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sorry, random side note. I also did not see Ricky. Was he not playing this week because of his line flare-up?
Yeah, he dropped out. Okay. I think he announced it. So we record on Sunday nights. I think he announced it Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
I thought it was a good move. Yeah, I thought it was a good move by him, only because it's early enough in the season. Like,
yeah,
why risk doing that? He said he could have played through it at All-Star. I assume he could have played through it here, but like I said, like, you know, top eight finishes count for Elite Series. So, and they play 13.
Yeah.
Skipping one doesn't really make a big difference.
Yeah. What's really, I mean, if he's not feeling 100%, is it really worth going out there and battling for cash?
Especially at this point in the season?
Especially at this point, especially when you're him.
Yeah, September, October's a long way away.
Yeah, if you miss, it's going to do more harm to you than, you know, just barely making it would. So.
Yep.
So sixth was McBeast. Seventh is a name I'm not familiar with, and I'm going to assume most of us aren't. It's Zach Arlinghaus.
He is UDisc world ranked 78th.
Okay.
And he is from Edgewood, Kentucky, according to his UDisc page here. His picture, he looks young. He looks, or it's an old picture, but he turned pro in 2018.
So probably relatively young.
Yes.
That
I don't know anything about him.
He's been a PDGA member since 2014.
Yep.
25 career wins. Yep.
I mean, good for him. That's awesome. That could be a name. Who knows? It could also be a Luke Humphrey situation where he did great here at this tournament last year. He did great at Waco.
Mm-hmm. I will say
that was it. I mean,
I'm a little bit surprised. He's just over 1,000 rated, and his upcoming schedule. He's got one in Frankfort, Kentucky. Then he's got Waco. He's got Open at Austin.
Yep. He's doing the Texas swing.
Yep. He's doing the Texas
swing. And then Texas States.
Yeah, Texas States. Then he's doing Music City Open.
Okay.
DGPT Silver, Blue Ridge Championship. He's doing Jonesboro Open.
Oh, so he's skipping Champions Cup and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's not a bad tour schedule for someone who's kind of just starting out.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be a name to keep an eye on, as we said. Whether he's just kind of a one-hit wonder or, you know.
I don't know what he's played in the last couple of years, but he could be in the running right now for the DGPT
Rookie of the Year. Calling it. I'm calling it right now.
Okay.
Rookie of the Year.
If he's even qualified, to be completely honest.
So anyway, while you look that up, I'm going to go ahead and continue with our top 10, which consists of a bunch of people tied at 8th. Matt Bell, Corey Ellis, Matty O, Emerson Keith, Anthony Barella, all tied at 8th. Eagle coming in at 13th. Obviously some bigger names sprinkled in through.
I mean, he does not qualify. He played in 4 DGPT events last year. And he played at Worlds.
That feels like a relatively low bar.
Well, it's going to be, that change just happened this year. It's going to be better going forward as tour cards are harder to get. So he's, I think there's going to be a bunch of people who are like, yeah, that's a rookie of the, But as the sport continues to grow and it becomes more like golf, you know, that rookie of the year where if you haven't played 3 events, like that's going to make sense. Right now, it's kind of that weird, like they had to figure out the Juliana Corver situation.
Yes.
Who was a Hall of Fame inductee and then eight years later won rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Because technically by the rules, and I'm glad they didn't take it away. Only for the fact that they stuck to the rules and were like, look, we screwed up. Like, sorry. I mean, we'll change it in the future. And they're pretty good about that. Same with Tournament Central.
What?
We can talk about that later.
Okay.
We can talk about that later. Let's finish up LVC.
So, that's the men's side. Women's FPO. Side. Yes.
Ladies.
Let's talk ladies' side.
Katrina Allen, back to back.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Katrina defends her title. Obviously, probably probably the favorite going into this with no.
She gave a bunch of strokes back there in the middle portion. I think around holes 7 or 8, she had a rough stretch and Missy Gannon made a run. But there at the end, it was the Katrina Allen show. They called it, I think Ian Anderson called it, round 1, hole 6. Like, yep, Katrina Allen's winning. It's like, okay.
That's a little early, but he's not wrong.
A little premature. Yeah. At that point, 6 holes in, I think she had like a 2 or 3 stroke lead. And it's like, well, that's 2 strokes. There are 3 full rounds plus another 12 holes.
So
2 strokes, 3 strokes is not that much in the head. In that context.
So, as we said, she won. Missy Gannon, 4 strokes off the lead in 2nd. Holland Handley, 1 stroke behind that. To take 3rd. Good for her. I think she was one that we kind of highlighted as someone to watch for this year. She played really well last year. So I don't really know if she counts as a breakout for this year, but...
She's starting out with a new sponsor, and it's doing well. She's with Discraft. She was with DD, and now
she was switched. With Datcraft.
Yep, along with her teammate Missy Gannon.
Yes. So then, tied for 4th was Henna and Ella Hansen.
Yep.
6th was Haley King. 7th, Jessica Weiss. 8th, Owen Scoggins. 9th, Jen Allen and Caroline Henderson.
She's someone else that we're going to have to watch out for. She's been doing really well. I think she might be able to qualify for Rookie of the Year on FPO side.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
I could look that up.
There is one thing I just realized today.
Yeah.
And that is that Kona got married over the off season.
Yep. You did the same thing I did when I've been trying to do some stats stuff where I'm like, oh, who's this new person with the... Oh, never mind. I'm an idiot.
Kona Star Montgomery. Good for her and Colton.
Yes, I'm happy for them, but there are multiple times where I'm like, oh, who's that Kona... Oh, damn it. It's the same person.
K Montgomery? Who's that? Oh, I know who this person is. Well, good for her. Congratulations. And, oof, I did not realize how bad this was. Evelina just missed the cut. I did not realize that.
First time in her career, she missed the cut.
Yeah. What was it? Last year we were talking that she had never failed to finish off the podium and now she's missing the cut.
Yep.
Oof. That is rough. I feel bad for her, I guess.
Her putt looked awful. So
yeah.
Hannah's putt was much better than it has been last year. Her drives were much better than how she started out last year, which I found out through an interview that she had done. The reason her drives looked so off last year, she played through the winter in Finland. And she had to shorten up her steps so she wouldn't, you know, destroy herself on the ice.
Yep, and makes sense.
That translated, and she kept it here where it's, you know,
not
icy on the... So she said she felt like she didn't find her stroke until about halfway through the year.
Oh, that's tough.
She purposefully didn't play as much disc golf when she was at home. I'm pretty sure she went to like some indoor soccer field or something, you know, or at least throw into a net, do something.
Yeah.
But she didn't mess up her steps that way. So that was good for her. Her putt, I didn't watch it too close, but she hit a lot of band and a lot of cage. Like her misses were
right there.
They were there. Some of them, I'm like, you were expecting the wind to lift that, and you hit the cage square. Like, that was going to hit the pole if it was 6 inches higher. Yeah. Or she hit the band, and I'm like, oh, you weren't expecting that much wind, were you?
Yeah.
You know, her misses were, I would say, acceptable, you know.
You said that was Hannah, right?
Hannah, yeah. Evelina, God, that was painful.
So what I'm hearing is that we should expect a good round from, or a good year from Hannah this year, or at least a better year than last year from Hannah.
Yeah, probably.
So something that surprised me, just looking through the FPO field, there are definitely some names that missed out on cut here.
Yep.
Kind of surprises me. Raven Klein being one of them, Evelina, Deanne Carey, Kat Murch,
yep.
Paige Hsu. I know she's not necessarily like the, you know, the highest profile, but
no, and she's still coming back, and she's not known as a bomber, so this one is on the long side for the women's side, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Juliana Korver, who we weirdly were just talking about.
Yeah, I have to go back to the previous round to see the cut line. Yeah, there are some others. Who am I? Yeah. Oh, that was it. Those were all the names that I would have recognized.
Cynthia Ricciotti.
Yep. Holly Finley. That one's surprising a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the people who missed the cut. It was an exciting tournament.
Yeah.
The women's side was a little more boring in the fact that like Katrina Allen had a pretty substantial lead for most of it. Up until, like I said, about the middle third of the final round.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of got close, but I think she was still up. I think the narrowest it was like 2 or 3 strokes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't insurmountable at that point, but it wasn't like, oh my God, it's neck and neck. They're tied. It's 1 stroke. It's whatever. It's like, it's got it within 3. And then Katrina Allen just, you know, ran away with it.
Yeah.
Which... Yeah. Side story to this one, there's an Ulti World article published, and it's the title was something to the effect of Kristen Tatar doesn't have to worry about let me pull this up exactly, because I don't want to butcher this title here, but it was an interesting article. The biggest threat to Kristen Tatar's throne isn't Paige Pierce. And I thought this was going to be some deep dive into like groundbreaking, like, oh, hey, there's this player, you know, here are these couple players. Like if Hannah figures out her putt, if Evelina figures out her putt, it's Kristen or it's Katrina Allen. I was like, no, really? No shit, Sherlock, because like you're saying that. One of the three, I mean, they're all within, what, a point or two of each other in terms of rating? You're telling me the person who is 1 point behind her, 2 points behind her, like who, depending on what world ranking you look at, is 2 or 3? Like, you're telling me that's the person that's gunning for her. Wow. Good job, guys.
That's some insight right there.
Like, I was expecting like, oh, here are like five women to watch out for.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. But it's the second highest rated person in the world.
Huh. Who would have guessed it? Who would have guessed
that article came out right before that. It broke the Gannon Burr lawsuit. And then you follow it up with that. And it's like, well, I know
these things, not like the other.
I know two different people wrote this up, but like,
yeah,
oof, that was a hard pivot. That was a hard pivot.
Yes.
I mean, not a bad read. And it did have some insight, but it was just like the first line. It's like, got to watch out for Katrina Allen. Like, yeah, she had a good season last year.
She's a good disc golfer, that Katrina.
Yep. She might have even won a tournament or two.
Yeah.
That's probably because she had a good caddy.
Yes. Yeah. So you mentioned that Drew Gibson
made a tweet and people talked about it. Shocking.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to see if
really
I can pull that up.
Shout out to Drew Gibson for, providing content for us for.
I say that all the time.
Yes. Yes. So his tweet, because it just happens to be pulled up right on my Twitter timeline here, is.
I was going to say, my quote, Twitter is going super slow.
Full-time caddy, who would be interested? We'll be happy to pay percentage of winnings plus percentage of clinics/vending you set up. I'm being dead serious. You won't get rich, but you can make some decent funds while following DGPT and getting a foot in the door with the sport.
Yep. He also followed that up with, I want to thank all of you who have messaged me. I'm getting more messages about the caddy gig by the hour. As of now, I'm focusing on round 4 of LVC tomorrow. For those of you I've replied to, thank you. For those of you waiting, hold tight, please. Thank you all for the love. I wanted to go in there and be like, you want me because I'm awesome and you should have somebody as your caddy who knows sports medicine. There. is a good idea because, you know, I can stretch you during the round. I can take care of you. I could scrape you. I can do all these awesome treatments and not lose my license. Because I'm doing it for a friend. Non-professionally, I just happen to know these things. I watched a YouTube video.
Just stop.
I actually WebMD'd it. He has cancer too. I'm dead serious. This is water. This is water.
Oh my gosh. Water mixed with what?
On a half serious note, having an athletic trainer or someone who knows sports medicine like that wouldn't be the worst caddy in terms of all skills.
Meanwhile, when I caddied for you, I think I just told you to suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, you told me to pull my head out of my ass, stop being a little bitch, and that's what I needed.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to know your player that you're caddying for.
Yeah. Yeah. Nico, maybe you don't tell him, "Hey, hurry up with your putt."
Don't stare him down. Don't make eye contact. It's like wolves. If you make eye contact and try to stare him down, it's just not going to end well.
Clever girl.
This is really gone off the rails.
Yes. But
we're not in Ohio. I am sorry. That is a horrible tragedy, and I'm gonna stop talking for the next couple minutes here.
So this is great content.
Yep. I'm gonna let you talk now. I'm just gonna shut up for a minute.
Hey Joe, wherever the mute button is, just use it. You know the old ESPN show Around the Horn?
Yep.
You're getting the mute button right now.
Huh? I had to unmute me to respond.
Oh man. But yeah, so what I was actually going to say was, obviously, there were some, I'll just say, general reactions to Drew putting this out there. And I'm honestly surprised that it's taken this long for professional caddying to really come up at that level.
Money.
I think that is probably what it is.
That's what it comes down to. Up until recently, the only people who could afford to pay, and not just with winnings, would be like Ricky or Paul or Paige.
Yeah.
Your top level people. But now, as the money's getting better, and like you said, percentage of tournament winnings, tournaments are getting big enough where, like, it's not a bad thing. Back when the winner was getting $1,000, it's like, well,
yeah,
I give you, you know, 10%. It's like, all right, thanks, I guess. That didn't even cover gas money.
Yay. Or, you know, well, I'd give you 10%, but then, you know, I'd have to.
I don't have gas money. Yeah.
So, you know, I think that this is something that we will see more of. As tournaments get bigger, as the sponsorship contracts get bigger,
that might be in part of the sponsorships now, or could be.
I was going to say, I could very easily see that being something where it's like, hey, you're also going to pay for gas or, you know, for travel stipend for my caddy. And
yeah, you're going to give them a salary of, like, depending on who it is, say it's like, who would be a good one? Who makes an athlete? Probably Chris Dickerson. He makes, he said, in the comfortable six figures. So let's make the numbers easy. Say $500,000. Just like, all right, you're going to pay my caddy $40,000 a year to be my caddy.
Yeah. Plus, you know, gas stipend, and, you know, they'll also get a 3% of winnings or whatever. I don't know. I'm pulling numbers out of my butt.
Yeah, exactly. And that could just be up to, like, between Chris and Caddy, you know, just like, hey, you know, I just picked Chris Dickerson just because, like, $40,000 from, like, Paul McBeth seems kind of low.
Yeah.
In my opinion, considering $1 million a year. We don't know Chris Dickerson's numbers, but I would assume that it's around 500,000, give or take, which is still good money. Don't get me wrong. But it's just kind of like, all right, you know, $40,000 a year. Plus whatever couple side benefits.
So I think, like I said, I think that we'll start seeing that more, especially, as you said, as the tour card system starts getting more and more established, and you've got people who are literally just going to be touring pros, and that's going to be what they do full time.
That's kind of where we're at now ish. It seems like they're kind of starting to become only touring pros instead of touring pro and DoorDash or whatever.
Or Uber driver or
But it'll be interesting to see how the caddies go, because then you'll get those guys who are like, this is my caddy. This is who's gonna show up all the time. Mm-hmm. It'll be helpful to talk through shots, to help, you know, see lines you don't.
More and than just the, I'm
just
going
someone
to
carry
have
your bag.
Them, yeah, someone to carry my bag and, you know, talk with me when I'm, while we're waiting to tee off.
While we're bored. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to get to the point where the skill level is going to come up to a point where everybody's going to be pretty equal. Like, it's getting, the list of people who could win at any week is getting longer and longer. But it's still at the top, like, five or so. You're just kind of like, okay, yeah, these are the top five kind of deal. But slowly it's going to be the top 10, and then it's going to be the top 15, top 20. And the difference is going to be your caddy, because you just talked through that one shot and he talked you out of doing something stupid, or talked you into, like, hey, did you see this line over here? This is a crazy easy layup shot.
Yeah. Or, you know, hey, there's actually a lot of room up there.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, you could go for this, or, you know,
where it's going to be helpful to talk through. And that's going to be more than the skill level. Obviously, if someone's just feeling it that day or that weekend, you know, that happens. I mean, look at golf all the time. It's like, all of a sudden, so-and-so wins because, like, everything he hit went to the cup for whatever reason. He could, it's like, oh, he shanked it, and then it bounced off a bird and landed on the green. Like,
yeah,
You know, well, what can you do about that?
And again, going back to the golf comparison, I mean, I wouldn't say that Tiger Woods was successful because of his caddy, but there's a reason that Tiger Woods, you know, hired some of the biggest name caddies to run his bag and not, his,
not just some random guy.
Maybe that's not,
She's good with a 7-iron, I hear. That's going to be the difference, is talking through a shot like that, where it's like, whether you're finding people who become professional caddies or just like a really good local pro who that's his home course. Just be like, trust me, dude, you want to go this way. It looks stupid. And it was the first time I accidentally did it. And then I was by the pin.
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
it's the, hey, there's actually a sneaky line this way. You know, if here's you want to try route. That. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
here's,
how many
here's
times,
the intentional local route.
Let's, yes.
Let's say
how
that
many
way.
Times have we talked through at PFW on hole number 6 to B?
Taking that cut.
Yeah, taking the cut through.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it and I still don't see it, but I'm, AM3, AM4.
I can kind of see it, but I also see huge risks versus the reward you get. But if I'm in a shotgun start tournament and hole 6 is one of the last holes and I know I need it and I might have a comfortable gap, if I'm battling for first and I have to make up a stroke or two.
Yeah.
That's how I would do it. But I'd also need to be comfortable and go, I'm going to totally, if I screw this up, I need to make sure I have a buffer so I don't drop from 2nd to 10th.
Yeah.
Because you could easily do that with the way that is.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that type of thing at, again, a local course or, again, having a caddy that knows your game and can say, hey, could you do a step out forehand here?
Yeah.
Could you,
or don't be stupid. Play smart. Don't look, go for the layup. Trust me. You'll be better off that way.
Yeah. So, I think that's something that we're definitely going to see. Now we've talked about in the past, I've caddied for you.
Yep.
It
was great. It really was.
So what
you're
types
a great
of
Sherpa.
Things?
That's probably what you felt like on some of those holes at Tillman, going up and down the hills.
Maybe. I really just enjoyed just walking around with the bag aimlessly and being like, I don't know what you want here. Do you want the Stego? Do you want?
Do you
the
want
tilt?
The pink? Do you want the pink one or the other pink one? Or maybe this third pink one? Ooh,
which
here's
of
a white
your justices
one.
Would you like, me lord?
Yeah, exactly. The pink one, the teal one, or the red one? Yes. At least those were separate. I can tell you which one.
Yeah. Which would you prefer, the justice or the felon?
Yeah. It was kind of funny where you're like, I'll get you this. I was like, yeah, it's one of the pink ones. I know exactly which one it is. I'm just going to get it myself. I'll tell you the pink one, and you're just going to go, no, not that, no, not that. Ah, ha, ha, ha.
Meanwhile, sometimes I'm carrying around your mini, and I'm like, I need a mini. Where's my mini? I'm like, here, I got it for you.
Because so one of the issues I had with tournaments prior to that is I would just leave my mini. I would always, where the hell is my, or I'd leave my stool. The tripod.
Not your other stool?
No.
Not that type of wood stool?
Yeah. There's a bear.
Man.
No, they just do it all over the football field. That's where the bears shit. Am I wrong, though? I'm a Bears fan, man. I'm a Bears fan.
Question, though. Which of our teams is actually going to make the number one pick?
Let's see. What can the Bears trade away to get, like, last round linemen? Because that's what they're going to do. That's what they always do.
Trade down?
Either trade down or give away the farm for someone who doesn't quite pan out.
Well, I mean, your team already has the first round picks or the number one pick. So
yeah,
it's really a question of whether my team's going to go and make the trade for the number one pick or not.
Yeah. But back to caddying. Instead of crying about football.
Yay.
Yeah. I don't remember what the question was. I don't remember what the question was.
So just what types of things as a player, what were some of the benefits that you had from having a caddy that knew your game or relatively
well,
knew your game?
Knew it well enough.
Yeah.
You kept me out of my head, which is probably the biggest part of my game in general. Is the problem is I'll just get in one of those negative spirals and just have a hard time breaking out of it. Mm-hmm. And the best thing we did was just not talk about disc golf during, well, we never really had a backup.
No, not really.
No.
Mainly because it wasn't shotgun. It was tee times, I think.
Yeah.
And so I think they were spaced well enough that they were.
Yeah, they had it spaced really well. So there weren't really backups, but there were some decent walks between holes where we just talked about whatever.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you what we talked about, but
neither could I, but it wasn't disc golf.
That was a good, you know, a generally good group.
Oh yeah.
And that, you know, it was relatively
that can make a big difference. I've played with some groups that were just awful. Mm-hmm. Just the vibe. You're just like, I want to go home. I don't want to play anymore. This isn't fun. And yeah, I think having a caddy might have helped because I just could have been like, wow, this is, you know, just go off to the side. I don't know how much it would have helped just because, like, sometimes it just sucks.
Yeah. Well, and I remember there have been times where I've played in groups. And, yeah, you get, you know, that one or two players that you're just like, ugh, this is making me miserable for it.
Yep.
And then I remember there were also times when I've played with people in MA3 with a caddy, and I'm just like, but really?
Why?
But really, you need a caddy?
I mean, if you got a buddy who wants to carry your bag around, I like,
oh, yeah,
cool, I guess. Yeah, it was fun. One of the things, like, helping talk through shots, I remember on hole 8, you helped me line up a really good shot, and then I aimed for the wrong tree. So... the problem was there were two birch trees, one on the far side of the fairway. So like it was a dogleg hole and there was one on the far side of the fairway that I wanted to throw at because I would then get the dogleg. Well, there was one that, and I knew which one it was. The problem was once I got into the woods off the fairway into the honeysuckle, I thought I found the right birch tree. Yeah. And it was the one that was on the near side of the fairway. And I was
near
like,
near side of the far way?
Yes. The far side of the near way.
Mm-hmm.
Driving the parkway.
But you park on the driveway?
Yeah. We talked through the shot and it like I threw the shot perfect. I executed, I hit the target, I did everything I wanted to. The problem was I was aiming at the wrong tree, and you're like, the hell happened? Then I told you I was aiming at, I was like, see that birch tree right there? I can't see the one I was supposed to aim at over there. So I thought this was the right one.
Yeah.
So I underpowered the shot, but overall it ended up being, okay. Ended up being fine. Like I ended up being close to the edge of the OB or not OB,
fairway,
the rough.
Yeah.
So it wasn't ideal.
It wasn't brutal. Yeah.
No, but it was just one of those where like I talked through it and I don't know if I would have seen that shot. Mm-hmm. I went in thinking almost about just taking my medicine, throw something like a little wimpy roller or something just to get out into the fairway.
Yeah. I also remember there was, I think it was hole 10.
Long open one?
Yeah, the long open one right after you cross the river. For
yep,
the
10.
Yeah. Where you know, we were looking at a shot and we were talking back and forth and I'm like, I don't know. I think you should play the safe route. Then you get up to it and you're like, oh no, this other way is like wide open.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, having, you know, talking through that, and then as soon as you get up there, seeing it and going, oh no, this is definitely what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, kind of taking that. Yeah. Yeah. Taking that kind of uncertainty out of your mind, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Because it turned out the safe shot, if I remember correctly, the safe shot was just a dead straight shot where the whole right side of your shot is just trees, low, short trees. The left side is one tree with a lot of low hanging branches. Mm-hmm. But if you don't get past it, you're like edge of circle two.
Yeah.
Where the open route. Yeah. The other route, which ended up, I ended up doing the, like a backhand hyzer, just a big backhand hyzer over the shorter trees, which technically, if things went really, really bad, I might have been OB. I forget where that, they've changed the OB line on that hole between holes 10 and 12 are opposite fairways. Yeah. And they have had, in the three times I've played that tournament, three different setups for OB. So one time it was from corner of tee pad to the opposite corner. Another time it started somewhere different. Another time it just bowed out. And I honestly don't remember which one it was. So yeah, I may or may not have been flirting with going OB.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up being a really good shot. Yeah. Like it was way easier to just throw a hyzer out there and rather than try to throw something dead straight. Like the miss on that one would have been far worse than the miss over the top. Well, probably not over the top, but you know what I mean. But it was nice to be able to talk through some of those and just, you know, see what's up, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, basically get some type of read on stuff. And I think that's another thing that's going to be, we're going to start seeing more of is just the caddies being there as like a, hey, you've got this type of wind. Hey, you've actually, you know, sitting there or, just doing the readings for the... You know, for on the Bushnell or whatever.
They can run up quick to do that or give it to them. Depends on how each player wants it.
Yeah.
And whatnot. One other thing I thought of is just being I just lost it. Kind of like a soundboard. Just like, all right, here's, you know, this is it. Like this is what do you want to do? What do you, you know, eventually you'll get that relationship where you'll have a good idea of what they're going to throw.
Yeah.
Or you could, you know, your caddy could be watching ahead, depending the way some of these tournaments are. Like, yeah, you're throwing your shot on 10, but I'm watching over on 11 and going, oh, wow, everybody just did this same mistake. The wind read off the tee must be different than what's up the fairway 100 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Or, some, you know, just being able to look at that and study the course a different way and just have that extra information so that they don't have to think about it. They could keep score. They don't have to do the scorecard. And some people want to know what their score is after every hole. Other people like me don't.
Yeah.
I'd rather not know where I'm sitting. But when it comes down to the last, you know, whether or not, I think Brody told a story last year where somebody was on his bag and he's like, don't tell me where I'm sitting. Tell me if I need to push. And they're like, yes, you should push. Yeah. Meaning like they're close, but he doesn't know, like, am I close to fifth? Am I close to 10th? Am I, you know?
Yeah. Am I close to cash? Am I close to the lead? I think a professional would be able to tell the difference between based on how they were playing. But
oh, for sure. But you also, you know, in a situation like that where like you're playing well, but maybe other people aren't and you're jumping more spots than you didn't realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then or you can have that playing moment of like, oh, I'm playing really well. I better not screw it up. Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, alternatively, it might be something where, yeah, you might be minus 10 through, you know, 12 holes, but the guy that was two strokes in front of you is also minus 9 through 13 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you know, something like that where it's just one of those things where it's like, you're playing well, but so is a good chunk of the,
so is the rest of the field.
Yeah.
Yeah. The course is playing easy that day for whatever reason. It's like going out to Schoaf and no wind.
Yeah.
No, I take it back. Shelf with no wind is harder because there's always wind at shelf, so you're always used to playing, aiming about 30 feet to the right.
Yeah.
And then when there is no wind, you still go 30 feet to the right, and you're way away from the basket going, oh, yeah.
I don't know how to play that back nine without wind.
Yeah, I play so much worse.
It's only
so
the back
worse.
Nine that's windy.
Yes. Like I play that course so much worse when it's calm.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense. But no, I mean, like we said, I think that we're going to start seeing more pros do this, especially if Drew gets like a consistent caddy.
Yeah.
And
which is what it sounds like he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we're not at the level of the PGA where they have caddy school and, you know, these guys study whatever the courses are, and they might be regional pros for caddies or whatever. Like,
yeah,
this is going to be someone who's theoretically going to tour with him for the foreseeable future. Who knows?
Something else that I just thought of is, you know, that caddy could very well go and, you know, say, I don't know, Paul, you know, tees off at 3 or whatever, and the first couple of MPO cards tee off at, I don't know, 11 o'clock or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be very easy for Paul's caddy to go and be like, okay, I'm going to go see how these are playing. I'm going to see how...
Yeah, while he's warming up and doing his thing, whatever his routine is, your caddy can go out and study and go, all right, front nine is... You know, doing this, and just hope the wind doesn't change significantly.
Yeah,
that happened at LVC. Like the wind, if you went out at like, I think on Saturday, if you went out before noon or 1 o'clock local time, and did like checked it out, the wind, the gusts were only like 12 to 15 miles an hour. By the time MPO teed off, like lead card MPO teed off, the gusts had climbed up to like 35, 40. So like what you looked at is like a completely different course, essentially, because you're like, I swear to God, it was like everybody was throwing dead straight hyzer flips. Now it's like, OK, grab your most overstable disc and pray.
Yeah. So
but still same idea.
Yeah.
And it's someone else to keep your, you know. You could keep your hands dry in the rain much easier by your caddy just drying everything off and getting soaked because, you know, it doesn't matter for your caddy.
Yeah.
Be nice to your caddy, though, but, you know.
Yeah.
Their hands don't have to be dry.
Yeah.
The disc does.
Yes. So, I mean, like we said, we think this is going to be something where, especially if Drew is successful with this, that we're going to see.
Even if he's only moderately successful.
Yeah. Yeah, he won one tournament last year, two tournaments last year? I think just Las Vegas Challenge, right?
I think so, off the top of my head. He might have got a Silver Series that I don't recall.
Yeah.
But I'm not positive. Oh, something I just thought of. Paul McBeth flew in his caddy from the European Open.
Yeah.
The guy who caddied for him at the European Open, so he said, hey, you're coming in for Worlds, and because we have unfinished business. He ended up winning Worlds.
Yeah.
So he clicked with that guy. I don't know if that guy wants to caddy in the United States for an extended period of time, but I would not be.
He would need a work visa, and I'm not sure that disc golf caddy quite qualifies for a work visa.
I don't know
how
that would work. But what he could do is McBeth has got that 8 tour swing out in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him joining him for those 8 tours.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or those 8 stops, I mean. So
yeah,
Macbeth has kind of done it, sort of. I mean,
yeah.
Two tournaments with the GOAT. Like, I have a hard time arguing that guy made a big difference. But
if Paul felt like he did, then...
Mental game.
If nothing else, placebo effect is a real thing.
We know in our jobs in sports medicine, if they think it works, it works.
Yes. Absolutely.
I cannot tell you how many times I've put a piece of tape on something and they're like, that feels so much better. I'm like, it does nothing. Whatever. Just yes, like a piece of stretchy tape around the arm. Like, man, that feels so much better. I was like, get back out there. There's nothing wrong with you. The inside words got out again, didn't they?
Oh, man. Yes. Yes.
But so, anybody who works with people can just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched a YouTube short about this guy. He's a session bassist. And on his bass, he has a little toggle switch that has three different positions. And he plays, and like he said, if the producer doesn't like it, he flips the switch, pretends to adjust his hands, and all of a sudden the producer loves it. He said the toggle switch does nothing. There are no electronics, no wires, no nothing. It is literally just glued on there. And all of a sudden the producer loves it. So it's the same thing. Like, it doesn't matter, sports, music, whatever. The placebo effect.
I remember being on a customer support call with an internet cable company.
Yep.
And being like, okay, yeah, this person's, you know, really helping me, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it turns out this person like totally screwed up what I wanted. But in the moment, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is great. Yeah. This person's great. This is, you know, I'm getting exactly what I want.
Yep.
And then I was like, oh, wait a second. No. We have completely misunderstood each other. But
yeah,
that is neither here nor there.
It happens, though. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
uh-huh. So,
you know, that lucky whatever isn't. But if you think it works, it works.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times, though, like out on a round, do you just keep reaching for the same disc?
Mm-hmm.
Even though it might not necessarily be the best one for whatever shot you're doing, but you're like, it's been great all day.
I've just had a good feel for this disc all day.
Yep. Done that before. Sometimes it's only because like I'm cranking on my stiletto all day because I'm playing in 35 mile an hour headwinds, and that is literally the only disc I have that won't turn over. I didn't have a tilt at the time. But
good time.
You know, I've done well. But all right, I think that about does it. I think we've exhausted our caddy topic.
Yeah.
And Drew, thank you, Drew Gibson.
Yes, thank you, as always.
We'll
Drew,
give you a percentage of the proceeds of this podcast.
Yes,
the check is in the mail.
Yes,
yeah, the check is in the mail.
Actually, the bill is in the mail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the check is for negative.
Yeah,
is this right? Like, yeah, you owe me money. Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
So, all right. Well, I think that does it. Make sure that you check out Joe's website, joesdiscgolf.com. We're real original.
Yeah, I need to get
that
up on that. I need to,
you know, there's some articles. There's
power rankings that haven't been updated since. Yeah. Power ranking formula is a work in progress again, as it has been for a year, it seems.
Has it ever not been a work in progress?
No.
Okay.
It did seem to be working for a while. And then I discovered an error in it that
just happened to make things right.
Sort of. I mean, it happened to work out where the best at the time were at the top. Like at the time, Katrina Allen was like 5 weeks in a row running, but this was when Kristen Tatar wasn't there yet. She wasn't really playing here in the U.S. yet. And, you know, there was a decay factor. So like, if you haven't played recently, I wasn't throwing you in the power rankings if you've only played like one or two tournaments.
Right.
Well, then I noticed, I was like, okay, Gannon Burr hasn't been playing well for the last couple of tournaments. Why is he number one in my power rankings right now? Like, and then I went back through and went, oh, crap.
Are they power rankings by Prodigy?
Yes. Sorry, KJ. But I'm working on machine learning and AI.
Just
other tech buzzwords.
Have ChatGPT.
It's not connected to the internet.
Rankings.
Yeah. It might be helping with some Python code. I'm not going to lie.
All right. Well, I think that does it. Joe, thanks for everything that you do. Thanks for, talking some Las Vegas Challenge, some lawsuits.
Yep. We've got Wacky
caddying.
Waco coming up.
What's that?
Wacky Waco coming up is what I'm calling it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, of course. So make sure you check out Joe's podcast, again, the Joe's Disc Golf Podcast. You can find it wherever you get your major podcasts, like this one. Yep. Or you can find it on Joe's YouTube channel, YouTube/Joe's Disc Golf, where you can also find this podcast. So listeners, if you want to watch us, you can find us there. Viewers, if you want to listen to us, you can find us wherever you get your major podcasts. I think that sums it all up. Joe, thanks for everything.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Listeners and viewers, thanks for taking the time to listen to us today, and enjoy your rounds. Bye.
Later.